Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
Dr. Scripture, are we going to talk about politics today?
No, I'm not going to talk politics today.
Okay.
What I do want to address is a statement that has been made a number of times by various political persons, whether candidates or pundits, as part of the political process going on. Because in my opinion, it directly relates to Scripture on Creation.
Wait, you mean they're talking about our program?
I wish. No, Scott. They're talking about an idea that relates directly to faith and science, which includes what Scripture says about creation. So I want to ask you a question. Scott, do you believe in science?
Well, I'm not sure how to answer that. It depends.
Depends on what?
Well, it depends on what you mean by believe. It depends on what you mean by science. The question is so vague and can be taken so many different ways. I don't know how to respond except with questions of my own.
Well, Scott, that's exactly how I would respond to such a question. But what I've heard several times by several different people in the political arena is this statement, which they say about their opponent. They don't believe in science.
Ah, yes.
And they say that as a criticism of the other person or persons they're referring to. Now, on the surface, that may sound like a devastating accusation. Somebody's so ignorant or backward that they don't believe in science. But as you pointed out, Scott, what is meant by the words believe or science? You see, if by science you mean the pursuit of knowledge, in other words, the pursuit of truth concerning the material realm, to reject that would be paralyzing with respect to making any kind of advancements in technology, engineering, medicine, and a host of other aspects of the human condition. For a person to think that we should not or that we are incapable of learning about the world around us, adding to our understanding of what, how, and why things are as they are, that is to condemn humanity to stagnation, even vulnerability to changing conditions.
You know, I think of the old adage, if man was supposed to fly, he'd have wings.
So that's a good example of that mentality that could have hindered a wonderful human advancement accomplished by science, the pursuit of knowledge and truth concerning the physics of flight. And given the threat of disease, in particular the flu caused by the coronavirus, for example, how devastating could it ultimately be if we don't pursue a vaccine as we did for measles and mumps and polio and smallpox and a host of other life-threatening diseases? So, is it logical? Is it wise? Is it right to believe in science when that means putting confidence in man's ability to figure things out and improve the human condition? I, for one, would say absolutely. All around us is the evidence of the value of that belief. However, that confidence needs to be tempered with the acknowledgement that we also can get it wrong. Humans are quite fallible, and it's humans that do the research, the experimentation, and draw the conclusions from the information they collect. So another perspective that should not be ignored when asked, do you believe in science, is, do you believe in scientists?
Mm.
And that is a very different question.
And the meaning of the word believe becomes critical as well. I believe in the ability of scientists to figure things out, but I definitely don't believe that all scientists are believable. In other words, I don't believe everything all scientists say.
Amen. And the sense of the word believe, as you're explaining it now, Scott, is the idea of trust. And there are at least a couple of very good reasons for not trusting everything any given scientist might say. The first is, the information they are presenting, no matter how honest, well-intentioned, and certain they may be, could be wrong. And the second is, scientists can have ulterior motives when conducting and reporting their research. Unfortunately, pursuit of the truth is not always the goal of scientists. It seems that agenda-driven research is becoming more prevalent than ever, and the goal of the quote-unquote research is to support a position on some issue. Such research can be simply fabricated, or what happens more often, can be selective in what it includes in its results and reporting. And the scientific community can be very resistant to any criticism or questioning of what has become accepted as true. Now, that's not just a recent development. It's been a problem for hundreds of years. But it seems in modern times, as a result of the unprecedented influence of scientific information and its dissemination by the media, Any divergence from the accepted mainline position is met with severe criticism, often censorship, and even reprisal. And because of that, scientists are under very real pressure to only present information that verifies the accepted positions of the mainstream media, academia, and the scientific community. Just question anything related to the extent or cause of what is now called climate change.
Which used to be called global warming.
Yeah, I know. But question the interpretation of the information that is gathered related to global warming, or the integrity of that information, and you'll be ridiculed and marginalized regardless of how legitimate your questions may be. Or question evolution, and you'll be labeled a religious kook, ignorant, and someone who, quote-unquote, doesn't believe in science. And what I'm seeing in this current political climate, no pun intended, is many examples of that. From what I've read, there have been many situations where I would fit in that group of people who supposedly don't believe in science, and I take great exception to it. I am a scientist. I've spent a large portion of my life practicing science the way it's supposed to be carried out. And there are thousands of other well-trained, thoughtful scientists, a large number more qualified to speak on these matters than I am, who also would be labeled as people who don't believe in science. In fact, by the assessment of some, simply believing what the Bible says means you don't believe in science. Well, what I'd like to do is consider the reliability of the Bible versus the reliability of what has been presented as science by various scientists. And I want to make it clear, I'm not criticizing science. The goal of science is to keep searching, keep adding to our knowledge, with the result being our understanding concerning the what, how, and why of the material realm changes. So the examples I'm going to talk about are not presented as criticism, but as examples of the process of scientific research doing what it is supposed to do.
Dr. Scripture, before you share some of those examples, I want to point out that before the new information was discovered, each of these examples were considered to be true, until they were demonstrated to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yet when it comes to many current scientific claims, especially those related to origins, scientists state their positions with such certainty that any suggestions they could be wrong is met with astonishment that you would dare question their facts.
Mm-hmm.
But then, when after a few years their facts are shown to be wrong, it doesn't seem to alter their treatment of those who disagree with them when they present new interpretations of the information gathered. Now they know they're right, and let no one question them, or as you pointed out, you may be accused of not believing in science, 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 science.
Scott, I detect a bit of frustration in your comment.
A little bit.
Well, I know just how you feel. So here's a few examples of how scientists have gotten their facts wrong. In 1984, a piece of a meteorite from Mars was discovered in Antarctica. After years of research, in 1996, scientists at NASA declared that the 6.3-ounce rock contained traces of chemical compounds including aromatic hydrocarbons, magnetite, and iron sulfide, which they claimed indicated the existence of bacteria on Mars 3.6 billion years ago. And as a result of the announcement by NASA, one newspaper went so far as to write that August 7th, 1996 could go down as one of the most important dates in human history. But within 2 years, the theory began to crack. Amino acids, fundamental for life, that were found in the Martian rock were also found in the surrounding Antarctic ice. And other non-Martian rocks, rocks from the moon, where it is clear life does not exist, showed the same quote-unquote evidence of life. By November 1998, an article in Science declared, "Most researchers agree that the case for life on Mars is shakier than ever." So keep that in mind when reports of life on Mars start coming in from the probes NASA recently sent to Mars. And be prepared for the onslaught of criticism any challenge to the reports will have to bear. And here's another example of a high-profile scientific publication getting it wrong. Scott, do you remember when National Geographic declared a half dinosaur, half bird had been discovered in China?
You mean the dino chicken?
No.
Oh.
No, I'm not talking about the dino chicken evolutionists are trying to engineer. But it was just as credible, or I should say incredible.
Mm.
It was just over 20 years ago when the finding was trumpeted as the missing link that proved birds evolved from dinosaurs. In 1999, a fossil smuggled out of China allegedly showed a dinosaur with bird-like plumage. It was displayed triumphantly at the National Geographic Society, and a sensational article about it was published in the November 1999 magazine. Paleontologists were ecstatic. However, just like the famous Piltdown Man fossil that was considered to be proof of an ape man for 40 years, the whole thing turned out to be a hoax.
Oh, wow.
The feathered dinosaur fossil was created by a Chinese farmer who had rigged together fossils of bird bits and a meat-eating dinosaur's tail. And yet, in National Geographic, the retraction of the claim that a feathered dinosaur had been discovered didn't get near the fanfare that the original story got.
Which results in most people never hearing about the fact that the original claims were false, so they go on thinking that the claims are true.
And it happens that way all the time. So, let's look at one more example of scientists getting it wrong. We've looked at research related to the origin of life and the origin of birds. How about something related to predictions about climate? In 1983, the famous and well-respected astronomer Carl Sagan co-authored an article in the journal Science that shook the world. The title was Nuclear Winter: Global Consequences of Multiple Nuclear Explosions. And it warned that nuclear war could send a giant cloud of dust into the atmosphere that would cover the globe, blocking sunlight and invoking a climate change similar to that which might have ended the existence of dinosaurs. Some scientists argued that Sagan's model ignored a variety of factors, including the fact that the dust would have to reach the highest levels of the atmosphere in order to not be dissipated by rainfall. Well, it took 7 years, but in a 1990 article in Science, Sagan and his original co-authors admitted that their initial temperature estimates were wrong. And though an all-out nuclear war would significantly reduce average temperatures in the northern regions of the Earth, it would not cause a nuclear winter in which all the world would freeze. Again, I want to make it clear. The problem was not with science. The problem was with scientists. But eventually, scientists, practicing good science, demonstrated the errors. And how did they do it? By questioning the claims that other scientists made. And yet here we are today, especially within the political arena, hearing various politicians and pundits accusing anyone who would dare believe the Bible as ignorant, uneducated people who don't believe in science.
Well, Dr. Scripture, let's face it, many of the disagreements in the political world will probably never be resolved. You know, people's beliefs and motivations are just too drastically different. But I wish we could all agree that one very wise thing we can and should do as a society is learn from our and other people's mistakes.
Now, that's an excellent idea, Scott. And in fact, it's a principle that is taught many times in Scripture. Here's one, for example. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, which tells us to learn from the Israelites' mistakes. Verses 8 through 11 say, "Nor let us act immorally, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer." Now, all these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And that's not what I say, that's what Scripture says.